so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Come on the worship team in your living room. Everybody give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. I won't let the storm weather my heart. Amen. I believe the same things about God that I believed last year. Last year, I told you that God's a healer. This year, we're going to show you that God's a healer. Last year, we told you God's a provider. This year, He's shown you that He's a provider. Amen. Everything that was true about God last year is true this year. Praise God. Amen. We're not going to let the storm weather our hearts. We're going to let the storm create an opportunity for us to see the glory of God displayed in our community, in our church, and in our lives. Amen. Amen. Amen, Pastor Sean. Amen. Come on. So glad that you all are with us today. So glad. Thanks so much for being here. And by the way, if you're new, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor. I don't know if I said that earlier or not, but whatevs. Not important. What is important is I've got a gift for you. So please go fill out that form at myeternity.com/new. We got a gift for you, all right? We'll send it to you in the mail this week. And I'm super excited about that. Hey, God bless you, Ben. Thanks, guys. Love you heaps. Love, 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 love your passion, commitment to leading God's people in worship throughout this season. So thank you very much. You know, church, this is a different time. And for those of us who believe in the favor of God, it's an exciting time. And I know there's been a lot of talk about wanting to get back to normal. And even this week, we've had a couple of board meetings and different leadership meetings about our getting services, in-person gatherings back up and running. And we're super excited about that. And we're even talking about that right now because we really believe that that things are about to change very soon. And but lately, we are hearing a lot of people talk about how I can't wait to get back to normal. Have you heard that? You heard that? Yeah, you heard a lot of people saying, I can't wait for things to get back to normal. And I know how they feel. I really do. Like, I love my kids. I love my kids. I love them so dearly. They're a precious gift from God. Scripture says children are a gift from God. I agree. Thank you, Lord. But I can't wait to send them back to school. Hallelujah. I can't wait to send them back to school. Not because I don't like being around them. Oh, no, that's fine. I love having little tiny humans come up to me and be like, Dad, can we get a skin on Fortnite? No. Dad, can we get a skin on Fortnite? No. Dad, can we get a new skin on Fortnite? No. Dad, can we get some V-Bucks? No. Like, I love that. I'm all about that. I love that. I'm all about telling kids to clean up all day, every day. I love that. I'm just sad that they're missing out on the pure education that they would get from their teachers. So I'm looking forward to sending them back to take advantage of that great opportunity that we have in this Western world of institutions like the education system. Super excited. Thank you, Pastor Sean. And I love my wife too, by the way. I love my wife. It's so cool getting to spend 24 hours a day with my wife. I love that, but for the sake of our marriage, I am looking forward to spending like 3 hours or so less a day with her. Looking forward to that. And I love my dog. We got a dog. His name is Dingo. I love him, but he stinks, and I'm not a good groomer. I've tried to groom. Y'all have seen what happens when I groom a dog. I'm looking forward to sending Dingo to go and get groomed at the grooming shop, right? Like, I know I want things to get back to normal, so to speak, right? But one thing is for sure that I have learned in this season, that all of us who used to complain that teachers get too much time off, oh, we get it now. Oh, we've all been educated now. Like, maybe 6 months ago, we were like, hey, y'all get too much time off. But now we've been educated, okay? Or edumacated, depending on the quality of the edumacation. Now we're all like, y'all need a pay rise and more time off. You want that? Come on. I'm all for it. God bless you. I'm like, wait, what? You went to college? got a degree and racked up student loan debt because this is the life you wanted? Oh, y'all need Jesus for sure. You need Jesus, right? Like, I get that people are getting antsy for things to get back to the way that they used to be. And I get it. We all want to be done with physical distancing. We all want some semblance of the life that we had beforehand. And I get it. I get it. I've thought about it. I've said things like that. But I've been thinking a little bit about being normal. What is normal? Has there ever been a normal? Has there ever been a normal in my life? Do I want to feel normal? Do I want to look normal? Clearly I don't. Do I want to fit in? Do I want to have a normal life? So after weeks of thinking about it, I got a sermon for you today about being normal. So let's go. You ready for a sermon on being normal? We're going to go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. There's a sermon in the Word of God on being normal. I've got it for you right now. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. When Jesus saw the crowds around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I'm going to follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And then another disciple said to him, "You know what? That sounds good, but first let me go and bury my father." And then Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury the dead." Let the dead bury the dead. God bless you. If you weren't already sitting down, you may sit down, brace yourself. I'm gonna get hypo today. I got a hypo sermon for y'all today, all right? But first, did Jesus really just tell a dude, "We don't have time for your dad's funeral"? That's harsh. Sorry, bro. Let your dead dad bury himself. Now, before we address the absurdity of that statement, I want to give you some context beforehand, all right? I want to give you some context. Let's set this up. Not just historical context for what the sentence meant, but I want to give you some actual, some momentary context on what was happening around them at that exact time, right? So not too long before Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead," not too long before that, Jesus preached a sermon on a mountain. He ended that sermon. You've probably heard of it. It was very eloquently named. He preached it on a mountain, so they called it the Sermon on the Mount. This is the sermon at eternity. Hello. Come on. That's what everybody here has been calling it all day. That Jesse's going to preach a sermon. He's finally going to preach the sermon on the stage. Jesus preached a sermon on a mountain. He ended that sermon with a story about those who build their homes on the sand. He said that people who build their homes on sand, referencing an unstable life, people who build their home on a sand are like people who hear Jesus' words and do nothing about it. Kind of like how Jesus said, "I do what the Father tells me to do. I stay connected to the Father. I go where He tells me to go. I do what He tells me to do. I say what He tells me to say." He's saying that people who hear what I have to say and do nothing about it are building their lives on unsteady, uncertain, shifting sands. We're going to put a pin in that. Bookmark that for a moment. We're going to come back. I promise you, we're going to come back to that. But just after that sermon, here's what happened. A dude with leprosy. Arms and legs and noses and fingers and stuff falling off him, right? Like dandruff all over him. A guy with leprosy. A man who had nothing. A man who, if he comes near you, you cross the street like he's got the Rona. Come on. Everybody avoids this man. They avoid him like y'all avoid a person coughing in the grocery store without a mask. Come on. You know what I'm saying. Come on, you finally know. Now in 2020, we finally know what it's like to be a leper. Oh, I sneezed the other day out front. 15 people called Homeland Security on me. Like I'm Bin Laden or something. Come on, y'all know. Y'all know what it was like now when a leper is around you. Jesus takes the disciples to the leper. Jesus gets closer to the leper and then he says, be clean. And the man is clean. Fingers are growing back. He's got a nose again. Hallelujah. The dandruff is gone. The pus is going back. The blood has stopped. He's healed in Jesus' name. Then, immediately after that, which was immediately after the Sermon on the Mount, then they come across a centurion soldier. This bloke had remarkable faith, like incredible faith, like incredible. Jesus said, never have I seen faith like this bloke's faith, right? Jesus is like, for a moment, he's actually looking at his disciples and then looking at the centurion and he's going, why can't they be more like him? How do we get a guy like that to join my staff? I want to hire that guy, but instead I've got doubting Thomas and angry Peter. And he says in front of his disciples, I ain't ever seen faith like that, ever. And the disciples are like, bro, we're right here. We're right here, man. I know you want us to be like that guy, but we're right here. Then after that little insult, they go to Peter's mum's house. Like right away. All right, cool, let's do a miracle. Yay, let's teach the disciples. Y'all need more faith like this guy over here. In fact, he can take 7 of your jobs if you don't step it up. Then we're going to go to Peter's mum's house. Peter's mum, she's got a fever. That wasn't scary 6 months ago. Peter's mum's got a fever. Let's hang out with people that got fevers. Yay. Disciples are loving life right now. Come on, I know y'all are like, what are you talking about? Listen, right now, I'm just putting some context as to why this dude might have been like, you know what? I'm done with this life with Jesus. I can't handle this anymore. I'm just trying to put it into context for you. Then after healing the woman with a fever, hashtag Rona, then all these demon-possessed freaks start coming at them one by one. They walk out of the house, a bunch of freaks are coming at them. Demons, sick people, they're all running at Jesus and the disciples. Jesus like, bam, got you, bro. Bam, you're healed. Zap, zap, boom, double anointing. Boom, boom, come on. Jesus is having fun. Fire, fire. Take it. Pick him up, pick him up, pick him up. Fire. Come on. Jesus is having a field day healing a bunch of lepers and bleeders and stabbers and thieves and demon-possessed people. It was like a scene from World War Z up in here. Then all of a sudden, Jesus is like, big day. It's been a big day. I'm a wee bit tired now. There's like people around me everywhere. People pressing up against me. You know, we better take a rest. Y'all go get the boat. We've been casting demons out, healing people, hanging out with lepers and people who are fevering all day. Let's go get in the boat. Then, just as they're about to get in a boat, some rando comes up to them. Some random teacher of the law comes up, gets up in Jesus' grill, and he's like, you know what? Jesus, you're freaking awesome. I see a book deal. This is awesome. I see people reading this book for thousands of years. You're amazing. I'm going to follow you anywhere you go. I want to follow you. I'm coming with you. You're amazing. And that's when Jesus said, yeah, man, let's go. FYI, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but I never stop. Oh, I never stop. I ain't gonna stop doing all the things that you see me doing today. See, what you see happening right now, We're going to keep moving. We're going to keep loving. We're going to keep healing. We're going to keep providing. We're going to keep feeding people. We are not going to stop. What you saw happening today, that's life. You up for that, bro? He's like, yeah, man, I see a book deal. I'm in. But then one of his disciples starts thinking about that for a second. He's like, wait up. We just had like the hugest revival ever. Like, it was amazing. So many people were there. Jesus literally had to climb a mountain to preach, you know? I know some dude was on a scissor lift at Easter, but like Jesus had to climb a mountain, you know, just so that people could see him and just so that everybody could hear him. I was an usher at that revival. Hashtag worst job ever. Nobody likes being told where to sit. Like, nobody likes being told where to sit when they're coming to church. And then there was like a leper nearby. So I was trying to get everyone to do their whole physical distancing thing, and everybody's like, boo, 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 we sit where we want. We go near who we want to go near. Everyone's abusing me. Then Jesus comes down the mountain. He's like, oh, leper, let's go. So instead of going home, Jesus got us going and hanging out with a guy with coronavirus, a guy with leprosy. He did heal him, not gonna lie. That was cool. Scary though. Scary. Lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. That's awesome, but it's scary. Then he keeps thinking. He's like, then we went on like the longest walk ever. So long that a dude's like, hey, someone needs healing. But then by the time we finish the conversation, the guy's like, they're dead. Long walk. On the walk, we run into a guy, and right in front of us, Jesus is saying that that guy's got more faith like it, more faith than us, and he only just met that guy. Like, right in front of us. We were right there, bro, and Jesus is like, this guy's the coolest guy ever. What are we, chopped liver? Then hanging out, when we were done hanging out with the rock star, we go into Pete's mum's house, and she's got a fever. This guy, this disciple, he's getting ticked off. He's like, this woman in there, she's got a fever. Jesus is like, hey, disciples, come on in. I got a surprise for you. We all walk in there. Pete's mom is straight up fevering in front of us. Doesn't he know that people are most contagious when they're fevering? Doesn't he know that? Like, all he's got to do is Wikipedia the word fever. Everybody knows that. You'd think that was nuts enough. But then we went outside and there were zombies everywhere. Zombies coming at us. Dead people walking everywhere. They weren't like walking dead zombies like, ah. No, they were like World War Z zombies, freaky fast Jimmy John zombies running at us everywhere. And Jesus like, zap, you're healed. Bam, you're healed. Boom, you're healed. Pick him up, pick him up. Fire. Gotcha that time, you're healed. And now, after all that, Jesus is telling me, that's how it's gonna be. This is what's gonna be going on for the rest of my life. Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of God has no place to lay his head. Jesus ain't ever gonna stop. The disciple is like, nah, man. I'm out. So he says to Jesus, I'm going to come follow you. I'm going to do some of this stuff. But first you got to let me go and bury my father. And then Jesus says, let him bury himself. Let him bury himself. And we read this now and we're like, Jesus, he just wants to go to a funeral, bro. Like, how inconvenient could that be? Right? We're like, if it's a Baptist funeral, it's like maybe 25 minutes before they all want to eat. We're like, if it's a Catholic funeral, like max 65 minutes. If the priest gets on a roll, my father can play dominoes better than your father can. You're like, you know, so like maybe 65 minutes. Like, now granted, if it's a Pentecostal funeral, I can see it getting out of hand and going a little longer. But the Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. This is Matthew, not Acts. So worst case, this dude's saying, Jesus, I need 65 minutes. And I'm in. Right? Wrong. He wasn't asking to go to a funeral. There was no funeral. His daddy wasn't even dead. His dad was just old. He was saying, I'm going to follow you one day. I'm going to lean in to the calling of God on my life one day. But that life is always changing. And right now, I just need normal. I just want to go live with my dad for a few years. 10 years max. He's pretty old. And then, when he's done, I'll step back into my calling. He's saying, I'm sick of this ever-changing life. I want to get off the train. I want tomorrow to look like yesterday. I want next year to look like last year. And Jesus says, let last year bury itself. Forget what lays behind and press on toward that which I have called you heavenward. Hallelujah. What's he saying? He's saying, I only say what the Father gives me to say. I only do what the Father gives me to do. But hey, listen up. Listen up. When we saw in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is saying that those of us that want to sit still, stop listening to Jesus, stop following Jesus, stop hearing from God, stop doing what he tells us to do, stop living. Those people are going to stop living in favor, and their homes are going to be like homes built on shifting sands, blown down when the big bad wolf huffs and puffs and blows your house in. Come on, he's saying that if you stop listening to God, if you stop asking God what's next, if you stop living that change in life, that move in life, that your life will be like a home built on sand. Jesus is saying to the disciples, I'm still moving. I'm still speaking. And even though it may seem attractive to stop and be normal in an effort to have stability, the life that stops moving, trying to find normal, is in fact like building a home on sand. You were designed to move. You were designed to grow. You were not designed to stand still. Your life is like a bike. It's not meant to stand still. You can put on all the bike gear that you want. You can glove up as much as you want. You can put your helmet on. But when I move, that's when this thing is the most stable. When it's moving. When it's moving. When it's moving. I'm scared. I am. I'm scared. This is when it's most stable. When I'm moving. And if I could go faster, it would be even more stable. When I'm moving, right? This thing is the most stable when it's moving. But what happens to your life when you stop moving? You fall over. You fall off. Your life is like a bike. Your marriage, it's like a bike. Your job, it's like a bike. Your relationship with your kids, it's like a bike. Your finances, they're like a bike. Your relationship with God, it's like a bike. It's not designed to stop still. It's not designed to go and have a case, sirrah, sirrah kind of life waiting for my daddy to die one day. No, you're designed to move. It's not supposed to feel normal. It's supposed to move and grow and change and become more and more and more and more. You don't get married and say, good enough. No, you invest and invest and invest and invest in your marriage. You don't get a job and say, that'll do. I'm going to sit here and do nothing. No, you work and you move and you work and you move. Come on. You don't get saved and say, that's enough. No, you read the word and you worship and you go to church and you go to fellowship and you grow and you grow and you grow. Come on. You got to move, baby. I need a breath. Guess what? If you want fulfillment in life, if you want to live that extra life, if you want that abundant life, you've got to be willing to move. You've got to be willing to change. You've got to be willing to adapt. See, coronavirus, the world, the shutdown, all of that gear, unemployment, yada yada, on and on. So many things, but God has an answer. And if you're willing to adapt, and if you're willing to change, and if you're willing to shift, God will use that momentary setback to set you up for a God-sized comeback in Jesus' name. You got to be willing to take a step of faith. Right now, people are longing, yearning, begging for life to return to normal. And I'm not saying that what we were doing before is wrong. And I'm not saying we won't keep doing a lot of what we were doing before. I'm not saying everything needs to change. I'm not saying let's scrap it all. There's a lot of good things going on. But I want those good things to become better things. I want what I was doing to be done better than I was doing it. Amen. I was married before. I don't want to be unmarried at the other end. I just want it to be a better marriage. Amen. I was a dad before of 5 kids. I do not want that to change, but I want to be a better dad of those 5 kids. Amen. Can I get an amen? Yeah. I certainly don't want to get to the other end of this saying, I want what I had 3 months ago, or I want what I've got now to last forever. I don't want to get to the other end and be done growing in my marriage, be done growing in my relationships, be done growing in my finances, be done growing in my faith. No, I never, ever want to look back at a once vibrant relationship with God. I want to press in. I want to lock in. Amen. I want to look forward. I want to become closer and closer to God. I want more, Lord. I want more, Lord. In the middle of the Rona, I want more, Lord. I want more than I had before. I want to be closer to my wife than I was before. I want to be closer and closer to my kids, closer and closer to my God. Amen. I want our church to grow larger, stronger, more influential as we continue to take steps of faith and say, yes, Lord, what do you want me to do now? That was cool the way you turned that whole mess into a blessing, but now what? Now what? Yeah. Now what? We're not going to look back at the good old days. Right. We're going to keep moving. Yeah. We're not going to stop listening. We're not going to ignore His words, amen. Yeah. We're not going to settle for normal. See, there's this hidden instability in normal that brings depression, anxiety, resentment, and a lack of fulfillment. But if you're willing, you'll find stability and strength in change and growth. So often God has to remind us that we were designed for more, right? Like sometimes I sit there and I'm like, this is all right. I like this. This is good. And God's like, yeah, it is. I ain't done. I was talking to a friend on Instagram this week, and we were talking about when Jesus ascended into heaven after the resurrection. The disciples are standing there. Pastor Sean, would you come and stand up on stage with me? 6 feet away, bro. Just so no one, you know, reporting, you know, whatever. Come on. Right, so, and we decide we're just like looking up in the clouds. Jesus has just ascended, and we just keep looking up, bro, yeah, that way. And we just, no, your video hasn't frozen. We're still looking up. Jesus has been lifted up. No, your video still hasn't frozen. It's not frozen. We're still looking up. Jesus has ascended. It says the disciples, he's looking up still, right? Yeah. It says the disciples were looking up for so long that God had to send an angel to say, bro, what are you looking for? The disciples are like, but Jesus, it was so good. I remember the Last Supper, the old Judas bit sucked, but the rest of it was awesome. It was so cool, the healings and the lepers. It was getting freaky for a bit, but you fixed it. Like, I miss you, Jesus. Ah. Jesus, wherefore art thou, Jesus? They were looking up in the clouds for so long that God had to send them an angel to say, hey, why are you still standing here looking up in the clouds? Thank you, Pastor Sean. How long do you have to stand looking in the clouds? How long do you have to stare at the clouds for God to be like, we're going to have to do something? How long do you got to look at the clouds before God's like, man, these turkeys just aren't going to stop looking at the clouds. Michael, you're going to have to go do something. These guys are going to hurt their neck if we don't do something. And we haven't even invented chiropractors yet. They ain't moving. How long do you have to keep looking up, waiting for what you had before God has to send you an angel to tell you, move, 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 move on from what you had and on toward what He has and what He is about to do in you? What does God want to do in your life? What's the next step? You're going to stand there looking at the clouds? Or you're going to listen? Listen. What's the next step He wants you to take? For many of us, we know what the next step is. Start today. Is it to be more generous? Losing your job didn't change God's direction. Is it to be more patient? Being surrounded by our kids 24/7 didn't change what God wanted to do in you. Does He want you to love your wife? Seeing her more doesn't undo what He's called you to do. Is it to pray for the sick? Is it to read the word more? Is it to start a business? Is it beginning to tithe? Is it becoming a foster parent? Is it having another baby? Is it buying someone a car? I don't want to be like the disciple who said, I want to take that risk. I want to live that life. I want to grow. I want to move. But first, let me have a few more years living a normal life. If He went and did that, He would have never stepped into His destiny. If God didn't send an angel to tell those disciples to move on, they would have just kept staring and waiting for things to go back to normal. And if you didn't hear this message, you might have wasted time waiting for things to change back when God's got to change up coming your way. I want to tell you, if you keep spending time with God, if you keep reading the Word, keep singing songs of worship, keep coming to church and sitting under the great anointing that God has put on this church, you will hear His voice. You will be empowered. You will be encouraged to put into practice the things that God shares with you. And your life will continue to grow, adapt, move, and become all that He designed you to be. Just keep listening and stay willing to change. Stop longing for what was and embrace what God has. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you receive that word, come on, say amen wherever you are. He's not done with you right now. He's not done. On the camera, He's not done, Mrs. Weber. He's not done. He's not done, Pastor Sean. He's not done, my friends online. He's not done with you yet. Amen. Now, there are a bunch of people who hear in that word, and I believe that some people who don't know Jesus heard that word today, and I want to pray a prayer with you if you don't know Jesus. He sent His Son to die on a cross to forgive your sins, and then after He died on the cross, He had a resurrection. He was raised from the dead. He came alive. It's a resurrection, and that resurrection, it's like a prophecy. It's like telling the future that you will also have a resurrection, that you will live a new life, that you will be healed, that you're forgiven, that God's favor, power, and blessing will come upon you. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, and this is even before it got better. Like, Jesus was like God's favor and God's blessing on crack, right? Like, even before Jesus, Old Testament says that I know the plans I have for you. They're plans to bless you and to fill your life with hope and not to harm you. Then Jesus came, paid the price for our sins, and now all that remains is God's desire to bless you and to fill your future with hope. The way we do that, scripture says, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that we will be saved. So I'm just going to give you an opportunity to do that. I can't hear you right now, but wherever you are, I want you to pray this. I'm going to say it one line at a time, and I want you to repeat after me. Give your life to Jesus right now. Just give your life to Him by praying this prayer with me. In fact, so that nobody's alone and, you know, so that everybody feels a sense of camaraderie and community, I'd like everyone who's listening right now to pray this prayer with me so no one has to pray it alone. If you're praying that prayer, sorry, if you don't know Jesus or if you've walked away from Him and you'd like to give Him your life back, I especially want you to repeat after me. Believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth. Are you ready? Let's go. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died on a cross, paid the price for my sin, and then He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, favor, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all right now. I receive this new life. I receive Your forgiveness, and I ask You to help me live this new life the way You designed it. Help me to walk away from the past, the pain, the shame, the wrong and the hurt, and help me to live my life the way You designed it, just for me. I commit my life to You. You're my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, praise the Lord wherever you are. If you prayed that prayer, a couple of things I want you to do. You can just go to myeternity.com/Jesus. We've got a lot of great information on there about this great life and how you can be empowered to live a blessed life and all the good things that God wants to do in your life. So that's myeternity.com/Jesus. And also, if you'd like, we'd love for you, if you'd like us to send you a gift in the mail just to bless you and thank you for tuning in, just text the word saved to the number 25827. That's text the word saved to the number 25827. We just want to send you a free gift in the mail. So God bless you. I'm excited to find out about all the people who gave their lives to Jesus Christ today. Right now, though, we're going to continue to worship. We got two more songs. This is a special moment. Praise and worship brings breakthrough. We got to praise our way to breakthrough. We got to worship our way to breakthrough. You know, in the Old Testament, often they'd be going up for a battle and God would have them send the praise band, the worship team out first. That's God's way of telling us that when we praise Him, that when we worship Him, that His presence comes down in a strong and mighty way to bring a breakthrough into our lives and victory into our lives. So I encourage you, as you feel down, as you, this week, as you feel crushed, if you feel broken, if you feel hurt, if you just need a little more hope, spend some time in worship. But right now, we're going to worship the Lord together, two songs. And as we do that, we're going to pray for each other. So any one of you who needs prayer, I just want you to just type what you need prayer for. So if you, let's say you've got a sore back, just write, "My back is sore. I want healing." Type that in the comments and we'll be praying for you. Also, if you see someone write a prayer need, just tell them you're praying for them. Let them know. We're going to pray for each other. I like to call this a little moment of community prayer. So whatever you need, or maybe you've got something you don't want to share, just say, "I need prayer." God knows what it is. And we'll get praying for your breakthrough. Amen. So come on, church, wherever you are, let's all stand up in our living rooms or wherever we find ourselves. Let's stand up. Let's worship the Lord and let's pray for each other. God bless you. Love you heaps.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.